Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Alright.
Yeah, Billie Eilish what?
Wears big pants.
Not anymore, she doesn't.
I know. Because she's glamorous now.
She is glamorous.
Glamorous.
What?
I don't know. He took 2 weeks off and now he's...
Sorry, man. You don't watch RuPaul. If you... The one person listening who watches that...
There's probably more than one person.
Sashaying
away. And they're still mad. They're still like, why would you do that there?
There's still more than one person listening to the Who Goes There podcast. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 398.
I think it's 98.
Ooh. We're almost there.
So this is after our Saw X Halloween episode.
But like after like four more episodes of Fuck, I don't know, dude.
It's the timeline is fucking... Really, we're like the MCU now.
Yeah, we are.
It's
been corrupted. No, we're Saw X. Yeah.
Y'all, no, take that back.
We're Saw X, dude.
Anywho, this is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
And this is Reed.
Oh, boy. We're post Halloween.
How was your Halloween?
It was good. It was good. The kiddos had a great time. We were walking around South Park doing the thing. Went to a couple little haunted houses. They were great. Rich people be riching.
What did your kids dress up as?
Quinn was a little witch.
Yeah.
A little purple witch.
What about and the boy?
Micah was like a grim reaper dude with like pulsing red eyes. It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So he like, he listens to like Static X?
Just all shoegaze.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's better.
Damn.
I was at work for Halloween.
Same.
Yeah, which was actually kind of, I had two evening groups to do, so it was fun. I was dressed up as Sam.
Oh, that's right. You have that costume.
I have that.
Still fits?
I have that onesie, and so I would intermittently put the mask on, and I have a sack, and I had it full of candy and would go around giving people candy, and giving dope fiends candy is a plus. People like, dope fiends like their candy. No, it was good. It was fun. And then... yeah, Sophia was at home. She was a little sad because last year we got to give out candy together, which was actually a lot of fun. But we went to a fucking Halloween party the previous weekend for, you know, we're in the Rotary together and some friends of the Rotary. It's mostly old white bitches in the education field and, you know, nice people. But my Lord, was that rough for me. It was so rough. Because it's one thing to be around drunk people. It's another to be around... like elderly white drunk people on Halloween. I hit a wall. I hit a wall and it was tough. It was tough. But
I went the other way. My younger cousins had a party and
that's dope.
I went and I was like, fuck,
dude. You're like, I'm old. I'm tired.
I'm old. Well, it was after. So I went to the Amigo the Devil show.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It was fine.
What does that mean?
It was fine. He's playing with a full band now, which is a little bit...
It's like Dylan Goes Electric.
It's a little bit like that, yeah. And it's fine. It's good. I like that he's doing it. It's just not what I'm used to. And so it's alien to me. And
you're just hating that he can pay all of them now, dude.
Right. It is a little bit of haterade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But then the show ended like 11:30. And I walked over to this party that my cousins were having. And they're not like super young. They're in their 30s now.
Yeah.
But fuck, man, I can't hang with children anymore. It's just how it is.
You had to remove yourself.
I had to, yeah.
Other than that, I did want to tell you guys. So I've been volunteering with this child bereavement thing. And I'm, you know, in school full time, which is great. All that's good. But I got to guide one of the kids through their first successful fucking surgery in the hospital room. One of the things they have is a hospital room because a lot of these kids, they friggin' have no understanding and feel no sense of control over a hospital room because they spent a lot of time in it and they didn't fucking understand it. So they have this mock hospital room where they get control, they feel like a sense of empowerment getting in there. A lot of time they'll reenact the death of the loved one. And it was, and so the kid's like, he's all, hey, John's dying, I need your help. And like this, and then like, you know, the key facilitator who's trained me, she's like, oh, you're going in the hospital room? Is it time? I'm like, I think it's time. She's like, all right, good luck. So I go in there and there's this teddy bear named John, that he's named John, and he's bleeding out because he got hit by a car. And we, I just, it was fucking crazy. And I'm happy to report, we saved John. We saved John, dude. It was dope. It was like fucking Ari Aster's fucking.
It's like when triggering goes right, you know. It's
not, well, exactly. And then there's a dollhouse, right? And then this dude was playing with a dollhouse, and he's like, "All right, the mom dies. All right, the kid dies, and you're not supposed to like correct them. Like, oh no, don't do that. You know, it's like let him work it out." Well, I hate to tell you, everyone fucking died except Grandpa. He's on the roof by himself. But the doctor died, so he's just by himself and no help from the doctor.
By himself on the
even
roof.
The fucking sofa and all the inanimate objects in the house died.
They died?
Yeah, and what that let me know is, like, that's how he feels. Like, everything is subject.
When the kid was playing with it, he made them all die?
They all died. Everything was in one room because it was dead.
Whoa.
He's all the couch died. I'm like, even the couch, he's all, everything. I don't know. And then I'm just like, he's like fucking a 6-year old is grappling with the idea that everything is subject to loss. Like, and it was like, dude. No, but dude, it was fucking devastating.
You got me fucked up, little homie. You got me fucked up.
You wouldn't believe though, dude, like the groups, they're hilarious. They're hilarious. And meaning, I'm not saying the group, but the kids. These, like, I didn't know, you know, I don't have fucking kids. You're spent on that whole situation, Jorge.
I'm over it.
Yeah. They're a lot more, you know, life-affirming and funny than I would think. And it's the socialization aspect. So they're like, they're getting to play and they're getting to forge new memories with talking about the subject. No, so it's not just fucked.
Yeah, they're not going to lose all of their, you know, childhood. Like, there's still hope, you know.
They don't have to carve out this space in them where it's fucking empty because they're attaching all this other stuff to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's pretty dope. And this today helped out with some autistic teenagers. Read poetry, Jorge's favorite. And Walt Whitman's Song of Myself. It was dope.
Cool.
Post Halloween activities.
Jesus.
Damn.
It was cool, dude.
Wouldn't it have made more sense to have the bear die?
Well, yes and no, because it's the kid. The kid decides.
Oh.
You're not like, hey, they died, so they need to die.
That's what I mean.
He wanted to save him. He wanted to get a sense of control.
Got it.
And like the person who died, like in his situation, because beforehand we have like a pre-meeting where they give you a sheet. They give you the name of the kids and they give you the person who died, how they died. So it'll say car crash, suicide, overdose, da da da. Like it's just matter of fact. And then it'll say the person who's bringing them, whether it's a parent or which adult. Right? It's what I mean. It's amazing. So the person who died in this case, they didn't even die of a car accident. It was an elderly person who had passed away from cancer. But nonetheless, he's grappling with fucking...
It was like his grandpa?
Yeah. Okay. That's why a lot of kids, though, like I've seen like three fucking... Five Nights at Freddy's shirts there. A lot of the kids get into horror at an early age because they're fucking grappling with the stuff. Speaking of horror, How was your Halloween?
I worked, but I took a half day because I like to help my dad kind of set up and pass out candy. We always make a big thing, set up a table, and we just hang out with my siblings and stuff. And because our house on the corner is pretty popular for all the kids. Like the rest of the neighborhood's pretty dead, but people actually like go out of their way and drive to our place because my dad likes to make it extra scary and fun and stuff. But it was pretty relaxing. The work had a costume contest. I didn't win, but I didn't know. Yeah, it's like a catwalk, and it was like a fashion thing. It was like everyone
on
taking
the catwalk.
Yeah, so you had to like walk and do something. It was like I felt like I was on RuPaul, dude. It was like really weird. There's like judges at a table.
On the spot the last couple weeks.
Yeah, so that tripped me out. I was like, oh, I didn't win. I dressed up as Jack Torrance, and
Looked fucking dope.
Yeah, and Courtney was Wendy Torrance, which it works when both of us are there, you know. Like,
yeah, otherwise you're just some dude.
I look like a dude with a red jacket, and then yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, when they see her, they figured it out instantly. But I was like, oh, so it's her, not me. But then we went, and after trick-or-treating, was work trick-or-treating, and then passing out candy. And then we went to Cherry Bomb for a little Halloween contest. This is my third year doing that. I won my first year as Leatherface, got third place. This year I didn't place anything. I think I got like a little runner-up award, but it was fun. There's a lot of people, a lot of crazy people at Cherry Bomb dressed up as all sorts of weird shit. One dude was an angler fish with a little fish pussy. It was pretty cool. Light up.
Which is weird. Light up fish pussy. I was thinking about this. I go, why the fuck does a fish have a pussy?
Yeah, he did it though.
What's the point of it in the costume? Like,
he probably saw the lighthouse and was like, I gotta
lure somebody in to fuck him?
Yeah. Oh, probably. Yeah. Knowing him, yeah. And then one chick had like school snake scale makeup, and then she brought like her boa and fucking had like a full on snake on her. It was trippy, but yeah.
Did somebody fuck him?
Her? No. Fuck the snake? No.
No, fuck the fish.
The fish? No, I don't know. Maybe.
I hope he got fucked.
In some
good
way.
While he was dressed up as a fish. Good, good.
That's it, though, for Halloween for me.
What about Halloween viewing?
I watched one movie for Halloween. Is that what you mean? Like what we watched on Halloween? The only one I put on for Halloween, I carved a pumpkin like an hour before fucking nighttime rolled around. And I watched Demon Knight, Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight.
Oh, nice.
With Billy Zane, Jada Pinkett Smith, which tripped me out. She was the final girl. I was like, whoa, what? That was disappointing.
Topical.
Yeah. And then was it Willie Sadler as the main dude? I forgot. William Sadler.
The bad guy from Die Hard 2?
Yes.
Death from Bogus Journey?
Yeah, he played the hero kind of guy. And that was a weird movie, but it was fun. I liked how fast-paced it was. A lot of action, surprisingly. And it has like some Dust Till Dawn moments to it. Or it's like Feast. It kind of reminded me of Feast a little.
There were some Dust Till Dawn. I saw that way back at the fucking... Remember when they had a movie theater on 3rd Avenue in Chula Vista? Yep.
What was it called? It was called the...
United Artists. It's United Artists.
Oh, yeah. It was right across the street from the Fuddruckers.
Yep. And they turned it into a gym and all that shit.
Yeah.
But
right next to the Fuddruckers.
Dope. Demon Knight, huh?
Yeah. And I've never seen Bordello Blood, so I want to watch that next.
I think we watched Tarzan with your girlfriend at the time at that theater.
Jennifer Wood?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and damn, talk about a movie that's grown in stature over time.
Tarzan?
Those fucking Phil Collins fucking...
Yeah.
Woo! They have the memes with the piano on fire.
Yeah. It's like, we just want you to make a little Disney soundtrack, meanwhile.
Can you show me...
That's one of the few Disney movies that is actually shown, well, not a death on screen, but a pretty violent death. Like they show the dude hanging in the silhouette.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Call.
That was the first use of
rotoscoping.
Yeah, the CGI shit or whatever. It's like their first use of CGI in a Disney studio film.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a hybrid of the 2D, 3D.
There you go.
Well, there is a movie from around that time that uses some CGI, too, that's not Disney, called Prince of Egypt. And, no, I won't go into that. We watched...
Are you sure? You sure you don't want to?
Dude, I'm fucking... Sure?
Looking at the text, it looks like you really wanted to talk about it.
It does kind of seem like you wanted to talk about
that. That shit is dope. The Hans Zimmer music, the Ralph Fiennes.
Hans
Zimmer does the music. Ralph Fiennes is the fucking Pharaoh.
Christopher Nolan's
It's Prince of Egypt. Dope. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's Christian. What Christian? 1,500 years before those fucking card tricks and splitting up the bread. No. We're talking rivers of blood,
right?
Dead babies, mm-hmm. All sorts of fucking dope ass shit. Which they try to like put like holy music on them. Like no. Change the soundtrack, make it dope. Anyway,
remove the basically.
Yes, and then The Shining. We watched The Shining the night before Halloween,
hell yeah.
And it's like, well,
Hey, listener, have you ever heard of The Shining?
Dude, that movie is fucking great. Yeah. Sophia and I had watched the documentary, The Room 237. Is it
237, yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild. That's
But we hadn't watched The Shining together, which means for me, I hadn't seen it since like pre-2019. And yeah, fucking, what can you say about this five-star fucking all-time top five great horror movie?
Yeah. I haven't watched it since I saw it in theaters.
It's normie shit, though.
Whatever it is, it's normie shit.
I saw it at the Ken midnight. That was fun. Yeah, and I haven't seen it again because I'm like, I don't think I can top that. That was crazy fun at midnight.
It's just great, dude.
Yeah,
like when he gets in those fucking Nicholson modes and the editing kicks in.
People were laughing in theaters. It was funny
because it's overwhelming.
Yeah,
it's fucking insane, dude. Like the whole vibe. Like when it gets, let's get it going. It fucking it really goes. Slaughterhouse.
I'm jealous. I'm going to do a little movie night with some friends. We're going to watch that.
A lot of our Patreon, our beloved Patreon, and if you want to become part of Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. There's the three W's on the
front end.
The front end of that, of course. You might be used to that by now after 9,000 years. And we have a new Patreon.
We do. Though. I was just going to... I blunked out for just a split second there.
He blumpkined out.
I blumpkined out. Xander Cruz. If that ain't a motherfucking fake ass name, I don't know what is, but Xander, if that is your real name, thank you.
Welcome,
Come
Xander.
Come on in.
That's dope.
Yeah, and we need to get some little entry packs together, but we will be having some stuff sent out for Christmas. We need to get at least a Christmas card put together. We are in the process of... I don't want to say revamping.
No, that's the word.
Revamping the merch store, and we want to get some stuff. Cal is freaking, he's the one who does our art and stuff on Instagram. We really appreciate Cal, and we'd love to do some special merchandise for a lot of his stuff. So we want to get that going. We want to get it going. But yes, if you want to support the show, it's $1, $5, $10, $20, $50. It helps us do the show. We really appreciate it. But yeah, a lot of our Patreon members, quite a few of them had watched Slaughterhouse, and I kept seeing this stuff about it.
And I didn't feel like you were going to be into it. It seemed like you were like, I don't care.
Dude, you know that llama movie?
Yeah.
That one even had its moments to me. This is fucking great. Because I'm a sucker for puppet humor, like little fucking, like stupid shit like that when it's good, and it was good.
Yeah.
And it also has like fucking PETA loves this movie because like it has a really, this is going to lessen its horror cred, I guess. But the message is like, don't fucking take a sloth as a pet, you know, like it's not a good pet.
Yeah.
It's fucking from the jungle. The movie was fucking really funny. And it actually has like a plot.
That's what I heard too. People were like surprised that.
Yeah.
It's well crafted. It's crafted enough. Yeah.
Chicks will dig it because it's very woman centric. You know,
but like in a good way.
In a good way.
Like it's mean, on like Mean Girls type of.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
It's on Hulu, and I had a real good time with it. So did Sophia. We laughed a lot. It was really funny.
I mean, the look of the sloth, they nailed it.
Yeah,
that shit's funny. Just the look of it.
It looks like Zubumafu.
Yeah,
that fucking style of puppet.
A sloth like fucking start. You know, figuring out a laptop and then like shutting the lid like angrily. All pissed off is fuck. Like this is good.
And it's got like a mane of hair or something.
Yeah, I know like Killers of the Flower Moon came out, but Scorsese wasn't like really prepared for a sloth shutting the laptop. You know what I mean? Like he's been outshined by Slaughterland or Slaughterhouse.
He looks just like this to me.
He's cute. It's a girl. Her name's Alpha.
Zobumafu.
So, yeah, I'm glad that's getting the attention it is. I finished Follow the House of Usher. I mean, it's a sprawling fucking narrative, and I've mentioned some stuff before. It's not a direct adaptation. He uses, Flanagan uses a bunch of, he combines a bunch of different Edgar Allan Poe stuff and has it show up in different ways. The ensemble's great. The kills, like when they happen, at the end of these episodes, some of them are fucking just really impressive horror stuff. Yeah. And I don't want to give like spoilers and mention specifics, but it's some very inventive ideas. And I found the last episode to be fulfilling enough where I would recommend it. It's eight episodes. I'm glad it's not 10. I'm glad it's not 12.
Yeah.
It would have been ideal to me if it was 5 or 6.
Is there some pretty good monologues in there?
There's some great monologues. Yeah. And there's a couple, yeah, at least one that was going viral.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fucking dialogue is great.
Yeah. I mean, his monologues that he writes and all of his shit is fucking awesome.
Yeah. There's a couple that are great. There's a couple times though where it's like, yeah, I really don't care about what happened 30 years ago right now. You know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, but was able to see fucking Midsommar.
So the director's cut?
Yeah, the director's cut in the theater because A24 re-released stuff. I wish we'd been able to make it to Under the Skin. It was a pretty packed fucking showing. Most of the show times were. And you could tell from the reactions in the audience, people had brought people who'd never seen it.
That's dope.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they were fucking like, you know, the key moments of this movie.
Yeah, everybody's seen Hereditary, but it's like only a percentage of those people ever saw Midsommar.
They were upset with the cliff jump and stuff like that. And I mean, again, this is a movie where it's different every time I watch it. And it was, again, I'm like that couple that overreacts to the fuck. I wouldn't have said overreact before, but that's what they're doing. When they jump off the cliff and like, they're fucking dead. It's like, you are so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, you are so dumb. Like, no one is freaking out right now. You need to stay cool. Like, you're going to die.
Yeah. Chill the fuck out.
And also like yeah, you get what I mean,
get to the dope ass sex and you'll be good.
And then so that was good. And then Nightmare Before Christmas, they were showing 3D, and we watched it a couple days before Halloween.
Nice.
Which was fun. Sophia loves the movie, and you know what I mean, we've seen that movie many times. I had not seen it in a theater. Like, once it started, I was like having flashbacks to seeing it in 1993, and it was fucking dope. It was different in a theater. What else? I think that's it.
Okay.
All horror-y stuff.
Dang.
Nice.
What did you want?
I didn't want shit, brother.
Pero por qué?
I don't know, man. No, we were doing a lot of Halloween stuff. We're going out to pumpkin patches and then seeing my family for Halloween stuff. So I had no time to watch shit.
Mm. I saw also Killers of the Flower Moon. Won't talk much about that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
I finished the book right before watching it. Loved the book. I don't think the last third had as big of an impact on me as the novel. I mean, this only covers the third of the book, which surprised the hell out of me. But I understand why. They're trying to focus on just two central characters and that's it. But yeah, no, it's a movie, you know.
We can just agree that Oppenheimer is secure.
Yes, it really is. At first, I was really hyped. I mean, this was the movie I was hyped more for Killers of the Flower Moon than Oppenheimer, but Oppenheimer is secure. Mm-hmm. So besides that, I gave myself a little David Fincher marathon.
Oh yeah, yeah,
you did. Getting hyped for The Killer. I mean, I feel like this is going to be the new Drive. As in the Sigma males are going to be like, that's me, dude. I'm him. You know, like, this is going to be that movie. But, and I'm not saying that's why I'm going to like it. I just think it's going to be, they said it's his most rewatchable film he's ever made. Like, The Killer is just fucking crazy.
It's got
it's not like super overhyped or anything. It's not a masterpiece, but they said it's brisk. It's fast paced. It's calculated. And I like shit like that. Like, The Drive feels like a calculated movie. Nightcrawler, like tight films like that.
Me too.
One of my favorite spy movies, Assassination, is
Spy Kids.
The American with George Clooney. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the movie's fucking dope. I don't know. Just
that's cool. You like that movie?
Yeah. Wow. I say that a lot at the bar. I say that like, oh, it's cool. You like that? That's good. It's interesting.
Go on.
Yeah. So for The Killer, I wanted to watch four movies, but I only got around to three. I rewatched for the first time since it first came out, and I was young. I watched Panic Room, and it's okay. It had its moments with like crazy CGI shit, but that was for its time. You know, he was fucking around with that.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the least of his movies.
Yeah.
But damn, he's got some good fucking tricks in there.
Yeah. Too. And Hitchcock stuff. I applaud Jodie Foster for jumping on this movie like a week before they started filming because Nicole Kidman had an injury and she kind of just took it on. And
Kristen Stewart?
Yeah, young Kristen Stewart. That tripped me out.
And what do you think of Jared Leto?
Are you talking about Panic Room?
Yeah.
I really like
it. Yeah. It was,
do you
it
like
was cool.
Jared Leto's hair, though?
No.
Okay. Cornrows.
Yeah. Forest Whitaker is cool. And I didn't know that was the fucking, what's his name? Fucking the third guy.
Dwight Yoakam.
Dwight Yoakam, yeah. Fucking, that's cool. Yeah. That was a fun movie. I liked the third act a lot. It actually got better as it kept going. At first, I was like, I think I'm just going to skip it. I actually did. I pressed stopped, and then something inclined me to, you know, I'm going to keep watching it. And then it actually got good, really good in the second half.
What did you think of, he's a guy who's great to watch for credit sequences. He's always got really, coming from music videos, he's got great, like, you know, like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is a great fucking opening credit. Sevens, obviously, Fight Clubs. This one had the fucking...
The floating names. Text.
Yeah, the floating text on the buildings.
It felt like it belonged in like American Psycho or something, some sort of Wall Street
thing. It really reminded me of like, it's like Hitchcock, North by Northwest, but it's like true. Modern
was,
as fuck.
And it was heavily influenced by Hitchcock for sure.
Yeah.
So that was cool. It was fun rewatching that like 15 years later, 20 years later. Rewatched Seven. I've seen that movie so many times, so that was kind of more in the background. And then I watched Zodiac, and that was... It's so good. Yes.
It's a masterpiece, right?
There's the tension in some of those scenes. Literally, like, every buildup, he really cooks during every, like, kill sequence.
Let him cook. That's when he came back more mature, too.
That fucking thing is literally infinitely watchable.
Yeah.
It every time I watch it, it's like, this is fucking incredible.
And I'm very interested when movies take place over the course of like a decade plus, and this movie did it phenomenally. Mm-hmm. And the fucking tension still gets me every time, even though I know exactly where it's going.
And I think it has like one of the most fucking kind of like confrontational, wrenching scenes in cinema history. Like, I know there's movies that are more fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
But like the killing at Lake Berryessa.
That was crazy.
It is crazy.
Nobody hog tied them both? Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, you have this kind of hope that he's going to let him go, and he gives them the hope, and then no, and, it, like, that whole thing is fucked. But it's not, like, torture porn.
Yeah.
It's just fucked, and
we're just tortured because we're watching the fucking thing.
Man. Yeah, and kind of the effect of that sticks with you the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I was going to watch Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I didn't get around to it. I feel like that one would probably closely resemble The Killer in terms of like style and mood, but I didn't get around to it. The last thing I watched was last night. Oh my God, the new South Park special joining the Pandaverse. And it's this world where, I don't know if you're big on South Park.
I used to watch a lot of South Park. I heard there was a lot of motherfucking conservative idiots.
Idiots!
Like, they're gonna own this episode.
They were
now,
like,
yeah.
See, South Park is doing it right. It's like, you fuck.
Just because they're doing satire.
They've been doing this for the better part of, what,
almost
25 years?
No, but nobody is
saying to you the entire time.
Yeah, it's like, some fucking fuck. In fact, my previous tattoo artist, who has gone real right wing in the last like 3 or 4 years, big fucking surprise, was like, oh, South Park's doing it this time. And it's like, you fucking fuck. You fucking fuck.
And now you don't want to watch this.
Oh, South Park's doing it.
No, but it's like, no, I know what they're doing. And it's like, yeah, they're making fun of you, idiot.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's they make fun of everybody always, you know. But this one was fucking funny because I can't stand Kathleen Kennedy and all. And man, they're
confusing South Park with like Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like everyone hates Kathleen Kennedy anyway. It's not you, you know, you don't own that.
And also, look, identity politics, right? When you're doing things for the reasons to cater to them, to get demographics and make money with no sincerity. No, that's not a partisan issue. Yeah, like identity politics. Fuck. This was in Zootopia. Yeah. Like they explored this in a fucking Disney movie. Like this isn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So the premise, though, is the world, everyone just randomly in South Park is getting replaced by diverse women talking about the patriarchy. And it's good. And Cartman plays a version of Kathleen Kennedy. And all she does is scream to put a chick in it and make her gay and lame. It's one of the fucking funniest bits because the delivery of it. He was like, "Here's your linguine." He's like, "Where's my chick?" He's like, "What?" He's like, "I want you to put a chick in it and make her fucking gay and lame." He's like, "I don't know."
Oh jeez.
Who
in their right mind would be like, "This is my brand of
They're
life.
Doing it."
Yeah, it's like, shut the fuck up, man. They're making fun of you. Stop. Yeah.
But that shit gets crazy meta and as fuck, and it was actually really well done.
I don't know how.
That's basically like they took our jobs, and it's like, yeah, they took our jobs. They're doing it.
Yeah.
Dude, you're fucking like, you're not getting it here.
All the fucking white dudes in the show, yeah, they're all out of jobs and stuff. And it's fucking,
oh my God.
Yeah, they go all out. So that was fun. I don't watch South Park regularly. It's like one episode a year. I'll check something out that's getting a lot of buzz.
Still on, honestly.
I was gonna say, I think in terms of animated series, like The Simpsons has like the record for highest high, and now the fucking worst of the worst shit.
Really?
Like, I actually watched the Treehouse of Horror. This last one, pretty okay, but they're doing the same. It's the worst fucking downfall of an animated series.
Yeah.
But South Park for the most part has been pretty consistent. I think, at least.
Yeah, I mean, their school shooting episode is like one of my favorites. I forgot, it's like a normal plot, like typical, but in the background you just hear gunshots in their school, and it's crazy the shit they tackle. Very almost nonchalant. Yeah.
It's dope.
Yeah. That's me though. Yeah, that's it.
Also, he posted South Park for the win.
Who? Let me look at this. We don't need to say his name on.
I mean, no, the problem is that anybody.
I like the font you have on your phone.
Wow.
I like that? I like that. I like, and I really like that.
Cool stuff. Slick stuff.
Slick God stuff. Damn. Real stuff.
I want to start the conversation.
Let the conversation begin.
That was, you've seen that, right?
Oh yeah,
it's one of my favorite. Oh, it's like 100 times of the last decade, man.
I heard it, yeah, because of you guys years ago. I was that, like, man,
fucking crazy. Stuff.
That's Garth Brooks getting on Facebook. Just look up Garth Brooks Facebook
first live video on YouTube, crazy, dude.
He's thinking he's really gonna revolutionize. He's gonna reinvent the wheel on Facebook, like every other fucking boomer. Mm. Ha!
Shall we get to it, gentlemen?
Yeah, let's get it going.
That's three.
Do we want to take a break? Do we take breaks anymore?
We don't take breaks anymore. We just. Do you want to take a break?
No, but I just like. I want to be like, we're back. Hold up. Let's be quiet for a few seconds. Hey, Jorge.
What, dude?
We're back.
Oh shit. We're fucking back, dude.
All right.
Holy shit. Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called When Evil Lurks, directed by director Demian Rugna, starring Ezequiel Rodriguez, Luis Zembrowski. Zembrowski? Bro.
Hey, let it happen. He's Polish and Argentinian.
Yeah, that's
well,
weird.
That's why a lot of Polish people went there post-World War II.
Demian Solomon, Frederico Lis, Emilio Vladovich, Silvana Serla, and a bunch of other fucking people.
Damn, Frederico Lis looking hot right there, huh? Huh. He looks pretty good.
It's looking pretty good. Well, I know you guys have been waiting to talk about this film for a little bit. And we're going to start with you, Red. What'd you think of When Evil Lurks?
No film in the genre has come anywhere close to this movie this year. That was, like, I said it like four times in the theater with Sophia. And I still feel the same way. Like, I don't think it's even close. You know, and I don't even need to mention the other movies, you know. But I think the practical effects are great. I think the thematic ideas are extremely strong. I think the characterization he has of these people and, like, these moments of frustration they have where they just start... The cynicism that you can feel underneath this, the whole theme about faith being fucking useless and dead, and they created this, like, you know, this lore where all the churches have been deconstructed to exaggerate that theme, which works really well. The horror showpieces, though, right? Like, these it has one idea. Like, none of the ideas are alike either. You got, like, the first guy. Well, I don't need to go into specifics. I think all of that was extremely well done, and I could not predict where this was going to go. I really couldn't. And there's a few moments in here that were just, it's been a while since I've been in a theater, particularly, especially this year, where it's not like gasping, but it was just like, there's a scene with a dog where it's not like so gory. It's just, I've never seen it. And it hit me too after the movie. This is stuff that does happen without possession, like the, and so seeing it like physically happen in the movie, it's very grounded, even though this involves possession. You're seeing physical stuff happen. I'm not seeing people levitate. I'm not seeing overtly supernatural things, even though the premise is supernatural. Anyway, the thematic stuff about lack of trust and what the breakdown of communication and all of that that happens is fucking very strong. It's the strongest film in the horror genre that I've seen so far this year, and the year's almost fucking over. And it's a great... I preferred it to Atorados, by and large. I thought it was great.
Fantastic.
Fuck yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I think Terrified Terrified is... A lot of people preferred it more than When Evil Speaks. I know what they're saying. I think Terrified is a more more of a fun movie. Like, it's just... It's a lot of fun little haunted house jump scares and all that shit. I think this... film, his follow-up, is like an actual achievement in horror, and it's just devoid of all hope and kind of reinvents the possession genre. And you touched on a little bit, Rhett, you know, watching this the same weekend as The Exorcist Believer, and seeing how Believer just redid the same shit where the church and religion is the solution to the problems. And this movie right off the bat gets rid of that and says there is no religion. So what do you do with that? And that's exactly what he wanted to do. The director, he's like big into black metal and he makes heavy metal music. And he just wanted to make something visceral, but at the same time, just kind of like, just like a subtle beast of a movie that just at times just, it's a total gut punch. And yeah, I loved it. Like you said, it's just very cynical. No one's safe in it. And there's aspects that are frustrating that for some viewers, which we could talk about. It has some parts of like the Speak No Evil type of frustration with stupid characters. And I see a lot of people criticize it for that. But I fucking love it because I think that is what the film is. The film is about...
Criticize it for
that,
what?
That's the, I was
like gonna, the stupid characters.
Oh, we'll get into that.
I was going to talk about that exact same thing.
Yeah, I just said, I think the film is about that. It's about consequences, as what some people have said online, and I 100% agree. It's really about, you're watching a character who is definitely not perfect, Pedro, and you know that right off the bat.
He's frankly a moron.
Yeah, and you watch this movie. I watched this when I see it twice now.
Deadbeat dad and all sorts of things.
Yeah, watching it two times, you notice they establish the rules, they reinvent the genre, they make their own world, and you get to watch these characters break all the rules. Like
that is actually I guess I'm gonna just put it shortly. I really love the movie, but it frustrates me. The characters frustrate me, which is good, right? Because when we talk about Speak No Evil specifically, I go, well, fuck, dude, like, no, nobody fucking acts like this. This isn't fucking normal. This doesn't, to me, hit like a normal human would act. The thing I like about this film in particular is that it does dump you right in the middle of a world that has real and I guess for lack of a better word, documented possession stuff. The church has been exiled because it's ineffectiveness. So
it's like God is dead.
Yeah.
Like,
so for real. The way people act to me, I think that even in just those two little, there's two kind of throwaway lines where they talk about, like, you know, God is dead and you know, and they're like, well, yeah, it's a possession. You know, you don't see that in the city. So let's go to the city and blah, 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 blah. Not that it's more believable in this film. I just find it more engaging and less, I don't know, man. It's just the fucking dad is such a fucking moron. And I find myself so pissed off at everything that he does, but not in a way that's frustrating for me as somebody who enjoys film. It's frustrating for me as like, why the what are you doing? But to put it like succinctly, I think what my favorite aspect of it is that it builds lore without punching you in the face with it. And I mean, just the small moment with the goat in the beginning was, I think, my favorite scene in the entire fucking movie. I love that scene.
With the what the wife has to do?
Yeah. Well, no, just the even the goat, even yeah. The goat part.
There was, did you like the little camera trick where it made the goat look taller?
Bro, that whole scene where she calls him in from the house, and she's like, it's that goat. And I go, what fucking goat? It's just a fucking goat.
Well, and speaking of which, that's where it goes to that thematic idea of, like, a lot of this is, you know, it goes with the title, right? When Evil Lurks, which I think, by the way, is a very unfortunate example of lost in translation, like When Evil Lurks. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a...
You don't like the title?
No, well, because it's translated from something that makes more sense.
The title, it's weird. The title, so they're not...
Like, it's lurking.
they're actually, the title more closely to me translates to When Evil Is Close.
Right.
No, so that's, and that,
and that makes, goes with the goat scene, right? Because it's like, obviously, I think this movie is being literal about it, but it invites the psychological dimension, which is the goat's fine. She's projecting the evil onto the goat, right? Because it's coming from within her. And this goes on, like, repeatedly over and over again. It's like, you know, so it, again, you're never, I don't see anything supernatural with the goat.
Really?
No.
Oh, dude, I actually thought the goat was like, fucking do it, man. Because this shit's going to pop off after
No. What I'm saying is, we don't see it. There's no special effects with the goat.
Oh, I see what you mean. I got that the goat was actually the embodiment of the malevolence.
I think it is. I think it is too, but I think it works.
Oh, it's not overt.
I think it's overt, but I think it works on a subtext level psychologically of, like, is this there or is this what people are seeing in these situations? Gotcha. Right? Like, and again, this is overt enough. Like, he goes out of his way to make it overt with that fucking what's the name of the guy who's really fucking obese and stinking?
Uriel?
Yeah, and they call him something. They have a name for it.
It's like, that's the name of a demon, dude. You've done the thing.
He does. Yeah, he did the thing. Yeah.
That, man, when the moment they walk into it and you see what they call the rotten.
Yeah, wow. The rotten. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And holy crap! I mean, the special effects are fucking crazy in this.
You remember lots the dude practical. In Blade? The big fucking, yeah. It was kind of like, it reminded me, and that's a good thing in this sense. There's no, like, ice skating uphill motherfucker thing in this movie, even though that's fine too. But but the practical fucking effects and prosthetics of the rotten were very fucking convincing. Yeah. Very, I'll even say immersive, like you said, because it creates lore. It creates like they, you know, everyone knows about a rotten, you know, so. Yeah,
that's. That, again, the most, like, revelatory thing I can say about this movie is it doesn't spoon-feed you much, but it does give you enough to sort of create this, like, world in your
there's,
head.
There's
people that are possessed, they turn into fucking rottens, and if you don't treat them correctly, they're gonna...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the exposition is done organically. There's like maybe like one info dump and that was it.
Well, the grandma scene.
Yeah.
He pulled off that the same trick too in Aterrados, as in there's a part where the paranormal investigators, they have this contraption they get out.
Yeah, there's a lot of instruments. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't explain, but it has this process which creates this idea of world building in a very like lo-fi way. Like you don't need a lot of money. And likewise, they have a fucking contraption in this where they're trying to set it up. One of the ladies who has some expertise or at least more knowledge about these situations, right? Because she's taking it seriously because she's been in a situation before. She tries to fucking construct this tool to kill one of these fucking things. And it's very convincing, you know? And again, like that gets subverted, which is great. Like it's a horror movie. Like I'm regretful to give spoilers, but like, yeah.
We're at that time.
Yeah, when things are going to work out, they don't. Like, oh, they got this tool, they can do this and this. Nah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, nah, your man's is an idiot.
It doesn't work because you fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Like, that kind of shit. And basic rules, like, there's some good world building, too. Again, like you said, like, the fucking, don't use electric lights, you know? And they don't explain the technical thing of it, but, like, it's electromagnetism.
Well, right, and it gives you the space to jazz it out, right? You're like, okay, so they can't use electric lights because the spirit may fucking, or the rotten may attach to it or some bullshit,
right?
And don't kill him with a firearm. Like, why the fuck not? Look at, okay, I don't care. Just
yeah.
But I guess it doesn't matter because even if you bash him in the head with a fucking piece of brass, they're still gonna come get you.
Yeah. And then, there's another thing, too, but we could save that for a discussion. Like, I think this movie, too, ramps up. Well, initially, to go kind of linear, we get introduced to the Rotten. We get introduced to that family out there, and it's the mom and her son. And there's so many questions. Like, why are they... They're isolated, but they're not, you know? By the time this movie gets where it's going, you see why they were isolated. You see how...
It has, like, a smidge of, like... post-apocalyptic almost. Like, you don't know how fucked up the rest of the world is, but you kind of get a sense of it.
Well, and there's nothing you can do because the people that people won't believe you and or they can't help because the situation is too specific to your consequences,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just like there's the technical reality and escapable. It's inescapable. Like, you're fucked. You're isolated.
Well, and I think, too, I think it's trying to tell you that the fallacy is that there was any control at all.
Right.
Right? So, like, oh, you're going to escape to the city? Then what?
Well, and they try it right off the bat. Like, let's get rid of the body. Like, all of these fucking...
Not going to work.
Not all of these good ways to cut corners. Like, it's not going to work.
I love... They were never in control in any moment in the film. And that's what's crazy. And I love that... It felt like the demon, purposely did not want to possess them. They wanted to just torment them around them, kill everybody around them. And
well, and their actions spread the demon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're contagion. Like they're vehicles.
Him taking off the clothes and the dog sniffing it. He caused it all. Yeah.
Let's go to my ex-wife's house.
They got flashlights. I mean, the bullets. You know, that's an item that someone who was rotten. You know, possessed, so now him taking it with him, you know.
And that's why they said, like, because she says later, like, it's responding to your fear, you know. So it can use you as a vessel, like, not in the sense of possession. It uses your
suggestion.
Your weak psychology to move around. Because you're going to go over to your fucking ex-wife's and then it's over there. And then you're going to go over here and it's over there.
I know there was some folks that were saying it was like a COVID allegory. Because of the timing.
Well, you could,
but I just think it's more. It has more to do with the infectious nature of the human spirit, right? Because like,
that's the lurker,
right? The outsider.
Well, yeah, because
And I think that it's so bleak and so hopeless that we're not in control of our nature. Like, you know, you're his drive to get to his children. For whatever misguided fucking reasons. Like, dude, they're rich. Let them be. They'll be fine.
He wants to,
they fucked up everything.
He wants to make up for, he feels like he can be a hero, finally, I think.
Right. Even though he's the instrument of the downfall.
He can make up for fucking, like, this is his opportunity to be heroic, finally. And also, like, that's when the movie gets really fucking entertaining to me. Like, it was good. Like, I like it, and it's great. And then it gets I loved when he went to the because it's so unpredictable.
About the White
House? Yeah.
That's the best 10-minute sequence, like, all year for me. Like,
me too, and it feels so apocalyptic, like you said.
It's so chaotic. They throw in all sorts of shit, you know. He's taking off his clothes, and he's embarrassing his ex-wife. And then you got these kids and a dog.
Even his interaction
naked.
His interaction with his autistic son.
And then they throw in his autistic son, and you're like, whoa.
It is such a portrayal of an ineffective dad that has never had to deal with a child with special needs, right? So he's just like, it's me, I'm your dad. It's me, I'm your dad. It's me, I'm your dad. Be quiet. It's me, I'm your dad. It's like, dude, you clearly haven't raised this child because you have no idea how to calm him down.
It's also great too because in all the movies with possession tropes and shit in it, I've never seen I'm not saying it's never happened. I've never seen them deal with an autism in a setting like this. And it's interesting because it implies stuff about cognitive and mental state. Mm-hmm. And if that's a better entry point, or if they'd have to muddle through, and they explore that, like, it's trying to get used to the host and get used to its mind.
Yep, that was great. Yeah,
that was a great little moment because it was a bit of an info dump, but I think it was needed, right? Because she says, "Well, it's got him, but it's got to figure out
how to get
through that." And because
it's jumped into regular people. Over and over again, neurotypical people, you know, however you want to say it, people who aren't autistic. And so it knows how to navigate the fucking regular linear mindset, right, with the social stuff. Likewise, though, like, we know that he's in there once he starts speaking regularly. Because it's like, oh, he shouldn't be fucking doing this. And he's there with the grandma. Which is like, and that's just like one example of the good horror stuff in this. Like, it's almost kind of a fucking... It's an embarrassment of riches. Because then you got like another scene with the mom digging through the skull of her fucking kid.
Yeah.
You got
so good.
So fucking good.
That shit. That was we had both times I watched in theaters, people walked out, one from the dog scene, and then the second time I watched it, it was definitely reaching the popcorn brains, just reaching in like a tub of popcorn.
That moment too, where he runs her over and her
brains leaking out,
pouring out of her skull.
I'm like, that right there was better than
such a fucking cool scene.
The entirety of Evil Dead Rise.
More than the hair comes out of his mouth.
You mentioned it earlier, the dog scene.
Yeah,
dude, how to build tension, motherfucking 101.
Yeah,
you've got this dog, and you're like, "What?" I'm like, "Why are they focusing at all on the dog?"
Right.
It's clearly, there's something with animals because the goat.
One, usually it's they're gonna fuck up the dog.
Right.
Right. This is the horror thing. Let's fucking kill a dog.
Yeah.
People don't want to see stuff happen to dogs or kids, and in the span of 5 minutes, they fucking deal with both, dude.
Well, and it's Jorge's favorite scene ever. Because the child gets attacked.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah. 100%.
No, dude. Wait a minute. God. Yeah.
If only there was a pregnant woman that the fucking dog could have eaten. That would have been even better.
And then you got, like, the child gleeful later. Like, when the fucking wreck happens.
Yeah. And she's fine. She's no scratches on her.
It's fucking great. And then there's this whole fucking, like, almost... I don't want to... I'm going to sound so stupid because I'm not a video game guy. But, like... Remember Silent Hill 2 with the school and shit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. This part with the school with the fucking kids is dope. Like, I loved that. Like, and then why the kids? It's like, well, it implies to me the kids are, I don't want to say more impressionable, but like...
I was a little lost during some of the school stuff. So, like, none of the kids are possessed, or they...
No, they're all.
They're all possessed.
They're easier to
influence. Either they are possessed, or they're just children and kind of going with
it. Yeah, I thought maybe they were
I don't want to say what's the difference, but that's why children... they're sponges for the fucking national anthem. They're sponges for all the stuff that they're indoctrinated.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right, so that's how that works with other shit. And I'm the whole stuff at the school was super fucking. It broke its own rules a couple times, like, don't move fast and stuff like that. And then that's when his incompetence really got to me.
Yeah. The moment he goes for the axe and I'm like,
well, nothing's fucking easy too. Like, this dude is buried in the fucking underneath the stage, you know, and there's a bunch of corpses.
He's gotta drag him out. It's like no shot.
Like no shot. Exactly. There's no fucking way this is gonna work. And you keep waiting for that heroic thing, like it worked, and then
yeah, like he gets an adrenaline dump, and he's like, I'm gonna fucking go.
Yeah. And so speaking of which, like, the guy is a fucking idiot. The actor's great.
Yep.
He's fucking great.
He's frustrating. Yeah. The character is frustrating.
He's very fucking, and it's a fully fleshed human being. Like, and I guess maybe I got different mileage for, I, regardless of his incompetence, I empathize with him and I liked his character. I liked that he was, not that he's, you know, a fuck up, but I empathize with fuck ups, you know, because you know.
I like the pair. I like the two brothers. Even the younger brother, he was in Terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one with
the. Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, not the one with the wife. He was the one living by himself.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw something. I was reading some Reddit threads about this film. There is some implying that the autistic son, and I hate that I can't remember his fucking name. That he's actually the brother's son. That his wife had cheated on him with the brother at some point.
Yeah, because there is a line of dialogue.
She says, I loved you, right? Or something like that.
So that, again, that's a good segue into the trust.
And the way he dropped off his brother and just drove off. He didn't want to stay around.
Trust, it's not just faith that's been lost. It's trust. I mean, because faith isn't just religious. I mean, having faith in your fellow man, having faith in your neighbor, having faith in the state, which they have no faith in. The state cannot be relied on for shit, right? They have that trope a lot in this. Like, they cannot. It's so convincing that it's not like, oh, why don't they just call the cops? Because it won't fucking do any good. They won't believe them, and they won't do
anything. They establish that right off the bat with the rotten in the beginning. Yeah.
And that does line up with, like, you know, when people say an allegory for COVID, it's like in the sense of, like, breakdown of communication and trust, absolutely. I mean, it's an allegory for, that's not just COVID, that's human, there's a lot of human interaction. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and in fact, the director, cleared it up. It wasn't a COVID allegory specifically. It was about pesticides and just sickness in general. Dope. So he wasn't necessarily talking about COVID,
but sickness.
You could make the bridge,
the connection there. Yeah, because you run into a lot of the same fucking human issues, right? But I think to that detail about the infidelity, that signifies that even the bond between the brothers is very lackluster. Like, there's secrets between them.
Yeah, it's tenuous at best.
Yeah, right? And so if this bond was going to be strong enough to combat it, it's like, no, it's fucking at its core, on its foundations, it's tenuous at best. It's an egregious error they make. So yeah, that's fucking going on.
The director said he had three direct influences for this movie. It was like the three films he always had to as like kind of the foundation of it, and it was Evil Dead,
you can see that,
The Wailing, and obviously
The Wailing.
Fucking, I don't even know what the third one is.
Because The Wailing, ever in my own film,
probably The Exorcist. Yeah,
Wailing, everyone's putting it on each other too. Like, yeah, you know, you've got a real evil thing there, but also what does the work is everyone fucking getting at each other. You know.
Yeah, I mean, when The Wailing came out, I agreed with like the one critic who said like one of the best possession films since the first Exorcist, and I agreed with that. I love The Wailing, and I feel like this is the next one. You know, this is the one finally to be on that same level as The Wailing for me.
What was the first? He mentioned
it was Evil Dead, The Wailing, and
I could totally see. I'm glad that came up because I could feel the strong Sam Raimi influence. Not in a comical, but he's talented and intelligent enough to be influenced by something, but not fucking just cop it completely. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's got humor and over the top stuff, but he's not gonna make it like cartoony. Like, yeah. He's like, I'm not going to go cartoony, but I will go over the fucking top.
We didn't have a bathtub scene, basically, from Terrified. Terrified. Which I think is very a very like grown up decision, for lack of a better word, because you could have gone goofy. You could have gotten, you know, you could have had like,
well, he had no super, he had no supernatural. It's the exact opposite. Like
yeah. You could have had like the rod and like explode on somebody and be like, ugh, yuck, all over my face.
Yeah.
Like dumb shit like that. But it like all of the gross out stuff was just before it got goofy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it went. I agree. It went to like that ledge of like, this is about to just be cartoonish, mm-hmm. and he doesn't. He's like, no, let me just keep it gross. Let's get it going, and then I'm gonna pull back. But here's the mom digging through the skull of her kid.
Yeah, totally.
Which is like, you know, I could see Raimi having a. The thing is though, it's such a fucking like Argentinian / European thing. Matt was just texting me. You know what he texted me right now? He's like, have you guys seen When Evil Lurks? This movie's fucking wild. So
we've never seen it.
Yeah.
Should we watch it? Ask him shit. Tell him. Should we review it on the show?
Yeah. And he's just saying it's the fucking, he hasn't watched much this year, but there's nothing fucking close. I was like, exactly. Yeah. I agree.
100%.
But like I could imagine like fucking Sam Raimi doing, a scene like with someone getting their skull dug through, but not a kid. And he's like, fucking, these Latino directors sure do like fucking hurting kids. And I'm like, well, he's Argentinian and they got a lot of Europeans that came over there. So
yeah.
Europe likes to fuck up kids in movies and Argentina does too.
And his third influence was The Road.
Ooh!
Yeah.
The Cormac McCarthy adaptation.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
It's a good one.
And that's post-apocalypse, right? Yeah. And the most fucked up part of it is people.
Yeah, I found the thing. The director said it was an allegory for pesticide use and poisoning, not COVID, although there are a lot of parallels. So, yeah.
You like, here, he did the music at the end himself, too.
Oh, I heard that music.
Yeah.
I heard that music. No, but...
I heard the music.
I heard the music, and I like his movie.
I like movie, and I like music.
What do you think, Jorge?
About music,
do you love it? Do you like it?
Is this going to be your number one of the year so far?
Because I know you're not much like we do the ranking every year, but I think Jacob and I are natural rankers. We're just always ranking bitches, even with just because.
I would have to give that some thought. I think. I'm gonna say a controversial thing.
The Pope's Exorcist.
Exactly. No, we rewatched Talk to Me the other day, or I rewatched
solid.
The first time.
That's top three or something.
I think they're completely different films. Obviously,
Those dramatic scenes don't hit for me.
Yeah, I agree with you, but
they don't have to.
There are things in this film that don't 100% hit.
Yeah,
like you know.
Oh, did the very last
name one?
The last 5 seconds? Did they sell it to in the last 5 seconds?
You don't like seeing this movie? Name three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What
did the last 5 seconds? Did that get you? Did that have any effect on you? I was kind of
the last five. Him.
Seconds. I like went to on the. I went kneeing to, on the grass, screaming.
I was just thinking of you doing your fucking old boy.
Oh, Desu!
I was in the car with Sophia, and she clarified. I know this I'm embarrassed. She clarified the ending for me because I understood.
You're embarrassed because your girlfriend cleared up.
I'm embarrassed because it makes it sound like I didn't fucking like. I was dissatisfied initially with the ending, which I don't like to say, but I was in the car. I was on the fence with it. I'm like, okay, but then she's like, well, they ended up where that family was at the beginning, and I'm like, there's no other way for this to go. Like, it's not just going to kill them either, because it's going to keep them alive as long as it can use their incompetence and fear.
It's going to infect the
anything around it.
What's his name?
They're isolated. And it's like, they're isolated, and it's great too, because there's like a, you know, when you think about materialism, that house that they were living at the beginning was like a fucking shack. These guys, they end up at this house, which is like a lot more space and all this stuff, and it's fucking worthless. It wouldn't matter. It would literally not matter.
Literally
what your station in life was, you're fucked. Like, you're just fucked, you know?
Dead ass.
Dead ass, bro. All gas.
I feel like I wish we could show the listener that meme, like everyone at the same time.
We need a fucking zoomer in here to like just give us the fucking lowdown on current fucking slang.
What do you mean?
I heard gas the other day and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, dude, that's just gas. And I was like,
that's dope. I like that better than dope.
Like, I was like, holy fuck. Well, even like no cap. I was like, when I first heard no cap, I'm fucking muddling my way through. I go, so it's like a good thing that it's no cap? Okay. Okay, cool. And then like Riz. Y'all know about Riz?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
It's like.
No.
The fuck? You gotta have charisma, dude. Riz. You gotta have the Riz.
Riz Lord, dude.
And this is already like 10 years old at this point. Like, Riz is gone. She gone.
Then what's the fucking point? That's kind of like where it's like, who cares? Like, that's why I was always like that with these terms. Mm. It's no same as it ever was, man.
Who dares wins?
Like, dog. People were saying dog.
I'm bringing it back.
I've been.
It never left.
It's dumb. I like it. No, but okay. I like gas.
Yeah, it's gas. And you don't say, like, it's got gas. It's just gas. You remove the.
No, you can't have it's got gas. I've got gas.
Yeah.
I've got gas. Wait a minute. When he's screaming at the end, did that get me? Like,
yeah,
got me pissed off.
Yeah, how did that ending, you know, how'd you feel about it? Like you said, it sounded like you were kind of...
I wouldn't have minded if it cut just to the credits. But also, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And he sold it. He sold it.
It's like the grandma's necklace drops into the fucking ice cream or the throw up or whatever the fuck it... And it's like, right there, just go...
That's right. I would like... you know what? And that's kind of like... I would like if he just pulled the hair and the necklace out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And then it went to the credits.
You didn't need a Stella moment at the end.
That's like a... You know what? That would be like Speak No Evil type ending. That's what that would be like.
Except for better.
This did want me to revisit another film that sadly I've kind of forgot like everything about it.
Waterboy, dude?
Gemini Man. No.
What's the one with Will Smith and his son? Oblivion?
After Earth.
After Earth. AE After Earth.
It's reminded me of that. I want to revisit it.
Fucking shit, movie. Let's do fucking After Earth, dude. Yeah. Fuck.
We could do that podcast.
That movie's fucking amazing, dude.
Yeah. We could do Stealth, After Earth.
Go ahead.
Dark and the Wicked.
John Carter.
Dark and the Wicked.
That's what I want to rewatch. Yeah. I want to rewatch that after watching When Evil Lurks. I can't remember. I know.
Why?
Because totally,
of the farm, dude?
Because it was a farm and it was tonally dark and there was a sheep or a goat in it.
Dark and the Wicked. That was our, I think that was collectively.
One of the best ones of that year.
Our favorite of the year, like overall that year. Dude, there's that scene where the family.
See, I don't remember much. I'm like, I think I should revisit it.
There's a fucking scene that's really wrenching in that one. That's really like...
Because I remember when I watched, I was like, this kind of feels dark and wicked, dude.
Speaking of...
This kind of feels like evil's lurking, dude.
Dude, I can feel it lurking, dude.
This feels like the killers that are the Flower Moon.
Fucking one of our listeners... On our Discord, I said, you know,
and there's goats, dude. I just saw goats.
See, I knew it. I knew there was
a goat. Holy shit.
And that's the same director as The Strangers.
The Dark and the Lurkers, dude.
Oh, speaking of which, you see that there's going to be a Strangers trilogy.
I saw the teaser. It does not look good.
Directed by Rennie Harlan. Do you know who that is? No. He did Die Hard 2. He did Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4 way back in the 80s. But he did Die Hard 2, and he did Cutthroat Island, which was fucked because that was one of the biggest flops ever.
Never heard of
it. He was married to Gina Davis at the time.
Okay.
He did Long Kiss Goodnight, which had some inventive action sequences. But anyway, he hasn't done anything in a long, long time. So for him to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, how do you get back on your feet as a director and just kind of direct a fucking Strangers trilogy?
A Strangers trilogy.
Unless he really was interested in doing it.
Well, it's also like, don't tell me stuff about the Strangers.
Other than, for you, other than the taking of Deborah Logan, look at this more like this on IMDb. So it's Terrified, Anything for Jackson, A Dark Song,
The Empty Man, which I still haven't seen.
Hell House, which you didn't really love, but Night House, which is super dope. Night House, Saint Maud,
it was great. Host, I didn't like.
I didn't watch Host.
We did on the show. It was the one during COVID when they're on fucking the.
The director did dash cam Zoom. As his follow up.
The Lodge, I don't think you ever saw. I liked. Ooh, I liked loved
The Lodge.
So good. That shit was bleak. That was like yes. That was not A24.
Yeah, it was Hammer film. Hammer Films doing an A24 movie.
And fucking Matt gave me so much shit. He's, of course you like that fucking movie because he didn't like it. they put Speak No Evil as if also if you like this Speak No Evil.
Everyone has been comparing this to Speak No Evil online. That's a lot of people say it reminds me of Speak No Evil. I keep hearing that.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because of the social aspect.
The social and just how bleak it is.
People act like idiots.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, there's idiots in it? Reminds me of Speak No Evil.
Oh, there's fucking morons.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Speak No Evil allegory.
Like, what's the one that Johnny Knoxville did with the mentally disabled people?
Oh, God, The Ringer.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this reminds me of Speak No Evil.
Ah, yes, it's a Ringer allegory.
What the fuck? They ripped off The Ringer completely. These people are idiots.
They've got an autism.
Jesus Christ, you're taking over, huh? Now you get to say all the shit now, huh? The cancel couch.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Which we were not canceled off of, by the way. No. We did well on that show.
We did really well. You gave them a disclaimer and you didn't need it.
No, you know.
Yeah. So, unanimous. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Came out the same fucking week. You alluded to it earlier as Exorcist Believer.
Yeah.
Believer.
So the movie that's you know what? Please make no more possession movies. Comes out the same week as, wow, a possession movie. And it's
pretty. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's fresh as fuck. New ideas. Like, so there's no fucking excuse.
It was just sad. Their theater, you know, Exorcist Believer sold out. This one, five other people besides me, and half of them walked out.
Well, dude, if you look, again, too, the IMDb is fucking, it's like a 7.1 with 5,000 something rating so far, which I'm happy about. It's on Shudder now for people who haven't seen it. It's on Shudder. If you have the opportunity to see it in a theater, why the fuck not? Especially if you have the AMC thing. A 7.1, it's like, oh, well, how you know, that's not a good median average. Like,
it's not Scorsese.
It's actually a really solid median average for a modern horror film.
Super niche horror film.
On IMDb, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Which is very strict.
It's very strict. Yeah. Movies need to be around a while until they get into, generally... They need to, you know, especially horror movies. People are super fucking mean to horror movies. But if you looked at all the horror releases this year, you'd be hard-pressed to find one higher than that.
Although, know? I think it was, who shared it? Was it like Letterboxd released like the top-rated horror films of the year collectively?
I want to check that out.
And, man, I have not heard of and seen more than half of them. And they're all indie. And I got a lot to watch, and I probably have our homework cut out for us before December.
Send that to me, man.
Yeah, I think someone might have shared on Discord, but I'm seeing it everywhere.
I wouldn't be shocked if Slaughterhouse is on there.
Probably is.
Yeah. This year's going to be fucking bizarre for the end of the year fucking wrap up.
I mean, I'd recommend you to watch Cobweb. I'm curious what you guys thought of that fucking thing.
Bird Box Barcelona.
Not happening. No, don't do it. I'm not going to be watching that.
Don't do it, man. Knock at the Cabin.
Knock at the Cabin was fucking hilarious. You have to make a choice. Fucking idiotic movie, but totally killer. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry.
It just feels like you got some really strong shit and then a lot of mid movies.
Yeah, we have to sift through it though. I'm really curious to see that Letterboxd list.
Yeah,
you know, like you mentioned.
Can I say unironically, The Pope's Exorcist might actually be up there
in your top five.
Yeah, I'm like thinking through it, and I go, dude, like what's left? VHS 95? Like, no, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, cook, dude, do it. What does that have on IMDb? Out of curiosity,
which one?
Pope's Exorcist. I would imagine it's the mid sixes.
That movie's gas.
6.1.
Six point. Well, it's about so to go. Bad, it's about dude. To go sub six. Hey, I just want to point out, did you see what Oppenheimer has? On, it has an 8.5. Yeah, you know,
8.5.
Was this your number one horror movie of the year?
It's yeah.
We didn't talk about Threads on the Emo Brown thing, dude. I wanted to be like, you really want to get fucked up, Threads?
Well, dude.
Or fucking Chernobyl.
Well, exactly. There's always like, those moments like, bitch. Fuck, I should have mentioned this. Yeah. Dude, yeah. I hope they watch Martyrs. I hope they fucking watch
it. I think Steve will.
But I sent them a message about this movie, though, about When Evil Lurks.
Oh, Infinity Pool was this year.
Infinity Pool was
January, February, yeah. Yep. That's my top five for sure.
Yeah, Infinity Pool.
Beau's Afraid. Talk to Me. Might be top five, maybe.
I mean, is that horror adjacent?
Yeah, it depends of whether we qualify it. But, I mean, if it's not, it's going to be my top five of the year.
Adjacent Miraz?
Yeah, fucking Exorcist Believer is... Saw X is in my top five right now.
That's weird. I know. It's better than Oppenheimer.
Dude, it was horror as fuck. Like, it's better. Well, yeah, Saw X greater than Schloppenheimer. Yeah. Don't fucking say that, man. You know what? Don't I was say saying it. That about Killers of the Flower Moon is a joke, but it's actually true.
Somebody's going to fucking... Dude, look at the shit that we haven't watched this year so far. So we haven't seen Pet Sematary.
I'm not going to see it.
We haven't seen Insidious. We haven't watched the new Nun movie. So, like, there is trash to be mined.
Oh, yeah. That's what we need to mine the trash for our top five. That's what I'm saying, dude.
Fuck.
Fuck, man. That's why I was always like, hey, let's do the Nun 2 on the show. But no. I think
we've shifted away from that, though.
We've shifted away because someone's not here to fight it constantly.
We got more important films like Communion to watch.
Yeah, don't fuck with that, dude. Yeah.
And Species.
Yeah. Fuck all those other movies that are way more relevant.
Well, because, dude, it's just such a downer. Like, I don't want to watch The Nun 2 right now.
Insidious? Yeah. No, I just watch Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, that's true. I think we were excited to have a movie buff on the show, you know?
We talked about, like, Last Voyage of the Demeter. I don't think we could stretch out an episode's discussion. Like, if we're going to talk about those, it would be, like, another, like...
That's Pablo Lorraine. That's on Netflix. Oh, sorry. El Conde.
Yeah, I want to check that out. Mm-hmm. I want to check that one out. That
looks fucking weird as shit,
vampire
dude.
Movie.
What?
I don't think we could either. I don't think we could. I mean...
You would have to, like, do two movies in one episode. Just, I mean, you know.
There's a new Hell House LLC movie.
They said it's the
fourth one.
It's the best one, though, since
first. No, they did not.
I don't think it means much. I don't know if it's by how much of a margin, you know, but I heard it's better than the last two or three or whatever.
That's what they said. They did say that.
I'm fucking in.
I didn't even watch any of the sequels.
You want to watch that?
I am a champion of the genre.
I watched it for the first time, I think 2 years ago, and I was blown away. I thought it was the fucking coolest like found footage I've seen in a while. Like, I was having fun. I had fun with it. I worked at a haunted house for 9 years, so like it literally resonated.
When the clown stands there, it's scary. It's fucking dumb.
I just think I remember you cowering.
I tell people about that.
At the Haunted Hotel.
That has nothing to do with cowering. The movie being good.
Yeah, but you're scared of things.
I was scared of things.
You are now.
I'm not.
Still.
Now I'm... fuck it. Fuck it, man. I'm scared of going to work.
But, yeah, I'm scared of real life. I'm scared of my...
No, he's right, though. We went to the Haunted Hotel in high school. And I fucking was literally pushing him and other people in front of me with my head down.
There's a picture of him, I don't have it, of him behind me pushing me forward. It was the fucking best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Like, yeah, you fucking die. You get it.
Yeah.
Back
then, those were like the Hall of Fame. We actually do have like a Hall of Fame that were like 15, 20 years. Those are like the best scare actors from that time you went.
Yeah, I didn't know I had like a fucked central nervous system from like PTSD. This was like the introduction. Like, oh, you're fucked. Like, because I couldn't take jump scares.
Yeah, and that's all this was.
Yeah, because it was just stuff. I could not fucking handle it, dude. Yeah. My central nervous system was too jacked.
Yeah.
But, and also, you know what? When we talked about it on fucking Emo Brown, Steve was right. Like, the chainsaw thing did freak me out back then. Because I could smell, like, the fucking metal.
Yeah, smell the gas. Sometimes they scrape it on the ground. It sparks.
Steve was like, how do they do that? They take the chain off, idiot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, all it takes is one fucking disgruntled worker to not take the chain off.
And be like, I don't know. Yeah. Anywho, that's Who Goes Your Podcast for When Evil Lurks.
Currently available on Shudder, and it is the same director as Aterrados, or Terrified.
Which I think this film is a more overall fun ride.
I think this is a better movie. But I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, that's my opinion.
I think, yeah, this one is miles better, but check them both out.
Miles better? That's my favorite Spider-Man, dude.
Across the Spider-Verse is on fucking Netflix.
Ah! Anyway, that's a Goozer podcast for episode 398. We'll be in probably like February by the time
Don't say that.
You don't need to say that. 400. But you know what, dude? It's fine, dude. We're playing jazz. You're listening to jazz with us. We're having a good time. We hope that you're having a good time. This is Jorge signing out.
And this is Ree. Bye, Sophia.
This is Jacob.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.